Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and on this Friday edition, we always talk some Texas corn. And today I have with me Mr. David Gibson down there with the Texas Corn Producers. How are you doing today, Mr. Gibson?
I'm doing good, Bryce.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk about some corn. It's a major industry up here in Texas. How are things turning out right now for some of those corn crops here?
Well, if we travel around the Panhandle and South Plains, we see a crop that's struggling from heat stress and in many places stress from lack of water, Bryce. It's just like whichever crop we talk about right now in this part of the area, we're very short on water and very long on heat, so certainly going to be a real challenge. It's a real challenging year as far as producing a good crop. It's kind of like I see some good cornfields around in areas, but still with the heat, it's causing some grain field problems, some pollination problems. So it's going to be hard to have any one field really come in with a bumper yield this year. So it's for those that were shorter on their water supply and tried to stretch it a little bit, it's really throwing a lot of stress on those particular crops.
Well, Mr. Gibson, I have a question. You know, how did things pan out? Did a lot of people plant this year, or did they hold off on planting corn at all?
Well, we planted just about our normal acreage up here, somewhere around 600,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a lot of that now, I mean, about probably 30% of it was already being planted, committed to go to silage crops for the dairies and the feedlots.
Mm-hmm.
And so that got in the ground. What we're struggling with from that aspect is having enough water to push it to to the optimum stage for silage cutting and optimum stage for grain, and to be able to have the yields that we were be expecting when we planted the crops. The difference being for corn over some of the other crops, we really didn't have any acreage planned for dry land.
Mm-hmm.
If we'd had dry land acreage, it would have never been planted in mm-hmm. most cases. So, you know, you'll hear from other commodities that their acreage was significantly decrease. That's primarily because of the dry land situation.
Well, and I got a question, you know, and on a non-drought year, do we see a lot of dry land corn, or are we just not at all?
We see in years where we come in with a good subsoil moisture,
mm-hmm.
we see some scattered out around all the way from the top of the Panhandle clear down to the South Plains. If we've got good moisture to start out the year, we'll see, you know, maybe 100,000 acres on top planted to dry land. But that's not a regular thing. And this year with the real dry situations, it just wasn't a year that very many producers would have even tried to plant dry land corn, without having a good season under it, it's mm-hmm. just hard to make that crop.
Well, whoever's praying for rain, keep on praying, because we all need it of some sort. Now, I know right now we've always got some government regulations and stuff happening on Capitol Hill, and I know that there's a new regulation that's impacting atrazine.
Well, what we've got, Bryce, is that on the 30th of June, EPA announced it's going to reevaluate the current atrazine level of concern. It had been set at 15 parts per billion, and they've determined in its proposed interim registration review to lower that down to 3.4 parts per billion. And within that, they're willing to set certain criteria a grower is going to have to agree to prior to applying atrazine. And some people may say, well, why is this real important? Well, atrazine is the most broadly used herbicide on corn in the country. It's used either straight as atrazine or used in many blends. It's used on not only corn, but grain sorghum, some of our other crops. In the South Texas, it's used on sugar cane. It's just a widely used product across Texas and across the U.S. And there's over 90 products that have some atrazine in the formulation. So with EPA making this proposed determination and going back to another scientific review panel and going through a relabeling structure, it's just throwing it to where that several, many acres in our state, plus overall in the U.S., about 65 million acres are impacted by this change. And it'll make it where it's just nearly impossible for a lot of growers to use these atrazine products. It's kind of like when we talk about it, and I've heard we talk a lot about inputs. I heard you and David Lovejoy talking about that one day on the radio about the new word inputs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden we've got the current administration and talking D.C., even at USDA, about, you know, growing green crops, stopping cultivation, et cetera. Without atrazine, in a lot of cases, our only option for weed control is to go in and do it the old-fashioned way with plows.
Mm-hmm.
And opening up that soil. So on one hand, we've got one agency asking us to do one thing on our farms and another agency taking away our tools that our producers have to do it. So it's a very important issue for not only the High Plains, but the whole state and really the whole nation when we've got 65 million acres that are impacted potentially by this change. So it's really important for our growers out there that use the product to log in to EPA. We've got a connection on our website at www.texascorn.org where they can go in and easily make their comment about why atrazine is important to their farming operation. And that's what we need. We'd like to, we're aiming at having, we're hoping nationwide we can get 50,000 comments from producers talking about why this product is important and that these changes, you know, proposed changes will make it extremely hard to use that product. To be able to use it on our farms, you know, across mm-hmm. across our state and across the nation. So it's just it's one of those deals, as I said, where we've got two different government agencies, one telling us one thing, one telling us another, in a conflict, and we really need to get this settled. Hopefully we'll get a lot of comments from growers. We've got a lot of information on our website about it, listed there are these products. If you don't know if you use atrazine on your farm, if you read this list, you'll see a lot of products that are used here on the High Plains that contain the atrazine.
Well, Mr. Gibson, you know, a huge thing, we talked with this with Texas Wheat with Ms. Steely Fishbacher of, you know, glyphosate, you know, Roundup, you know, that became a huge thing of, you know, people going against Roundup. You see ads on TV about, you know, cancer causing. What caused, you know, this to, you know, randomly appear towards the EPA to more regulate, you know, atrazine?
Well, for the past 20 years that in my experience working here, we've continually had reviews of atrazine coming up caused by a lot of our environmental groups.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, we've had a monitoring site set up and checking irrigation wells, checking the areas of runoff. In South Texas, we've checked the bays that come in out of the Gulf of Mexico, and we've never met the standard for the criteria that they're saying causes harm. So, but with that, these groups have kept coming back and challenging the science over and over, saying, well, your science was wrong. Well, you know, we've had the private industry sites. We've had university sites. We've had research USDA sites. And they've all verified that, you know, we're operating at levels that cause no problem. But every time one of the groups come up and threaten a lawsuit, EPA re-reviews all the data and starts this whole process over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long-term deal. And you're right, Roundup is under scrutiny. That's another product that's used on many millions of acres in Texas as well as the nation. And these are two of the key products that we need to use if we're going to acquire some of the savings from the climate side that we get talked about. And again, Roundup, much like atrazine, we've got one side saying we need to use implement these practices, and one side fighting against us for using them.
Well, and for those out there, you know, this is not a political show, and I don't get political, but to me, it doesn't make any sense to, you know, we talk, me and David on our podcast, Pasture to Pavement, this week about two different sides, you know, constantly bickering and not coming to a common ground. And to me, it makes no logical sense to strip, you know, producers out there of tools that, you know, we want to improve yields. We want to make sure we feed America as well as the United States or in the world. And it just doesn't make, you know, a whole bit of sense for this to, you know, constantly keep reoccurring. So, Mr. Gibson, you know, I have, you know, my final question is, what do you see, you know, in the future for, you know, once they finish this review, do you think that things are going to change for production agriculture on using atrazine? Or do you think, you know, are things going to stay the same as where they were, even with that research that says it's okay to use?
Well, Texas Corn, along with the Trizine Network and other commodity groups involved, are hoping that the science stands, mm-hmm. and that we can continue to do what we do that's been proved over and over to be safe. If that doesn't happen and they require relabeling and putting these new restrictions, what I see there is the possibility, and this was explained to us last week by an EPA official while we were in D.C., a lot of these formulations that include atrazine will have to be reformulated. That means they'll have to be relabeled, have the labels reapproved by EPA. Yeah, it could make it very difficult to get a lot of our products that we use on a regular basis to help some of our tools we have in our toolbox to help manage weeds and infestations in our fields, you know, could go away. And that when we do that ultimately probably lowers our yields, it lowers the production, and it's going to, you know, in turn, long term, that could, you know, hurt us from the standpoint of what we're able to produce compared to what we need just for food and fuel and food, fuel, and livestock feed. So we'll have to see how that goes. We certainly hope we don't have to get into that. You know, we have all the time people, you can go to the store and buy products, even local consumers can, that have some formulation of Roundup or atrazine in it that they use around their yards and certain places, you know, on their personal property. Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing they need to do is read those labels and apply it as the label specifies, because some people think you put down, if it says to use 2 teaspoons and we put out 4, we're going to do twice the good. Well, you're probably going to harm yourself in this case by using too much, and that ultimately causes us problems for our crop protection chemicals. So I just have a concern if we don't keep this back and we have to go to relabeling these products and all of these have to be re-examined and pushed through the labeling process, which going through EPA's labeling process is not a short-term deal. Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, in some cases up to 4 years to get a formulation and all of the questions EPA ask and all the science they require before they'll issue a label. So we need it to stay like it is. I hope that's what happens. If it don't, then I see a lot of struggles for us with our weed control in our fields.
Well, the number one thing for agriculturalists out there is doing some advocacy. So, Mr. Gibson, one more time, where can people find this EPA, you know, website to leave a comment to keep atrazine in place and make sure that their voice is heard?
Yes, we have a link on our website here at www.texascorn.org, and they'll be able to click that link and go right to the page to make their comments.
Again, a huge shout out and thank you to Mr. David Gibson and Texas Corn for always coming out and giving us a great corn report and what's happening for the corn industry, as well as some policies out there that could affect farmers. Don't forget to go out there and make sure you get on texascorn.org and fill out that survey and leave your comments for the EPA for this weed regulation that could affect millions of farmers and land out there. Well, don't forget, tomorrow we have a news show for the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Weekend Edition from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. from all the interviews this week. And don't forget, we have a news show, Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators, airing from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. I sit down with CEO Cody Besant of Plains Cotton Growers down there in Lubbock, Texas, talking about the cotton industry and what cotton farmers should expect this year. But that's it from us here at the studios. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Friday morning.